This is KRCU's Going Public. I'm Dan Woods. The Southeast Metropolitan Planning Organization, or SMPO, has released the 2021 through 2045 Metropolitan Transportation Plan, or the MTP, for public comment. The MTP is a long-range multimodal transportation plan which will serve to guide regional investments in transportation over the next 20 years for transportation projects in SMPO's planning area. To learn more about it, I spoke with Alex McElroy. He's Executive Director of the Southeast Metropolitan Planning Organization. Alex, thanks for taking time to join us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate highlighting this.
Well, if you would, we have a lot to talk about. This was a 170-page report, and I admitted to you that I didn't read the whole thing. I read a lot of it. but we want to share this information with our listeners. So if you would first just tell us what SMPO is and what work do you all do?
Sure. So SMPO stands for Southeast Metropolitan Planning Organization. It's a local MPO. To the benefit of the listeners, Metropolitan Planning Organization is when the U.S. Census Bureau identifies your area as having a population density of over 50,000. So back in 2010, the last time we had performed a census, they found that Cape Girardeau and Jackson area had a population of over 50,000, which then triggered the requirement to establish an MPO. Once you reach that 50,000 population threshold, you become designated as an urbanized area, and you need to establish a transportation planning policymaking board that helps guide future federal resources in your area.
So this is what, City of Cape, City of Jackson, portions of what, Cape County and Scott County, and a few others, I think, right?
Yes. So our urbanized area is essentially Cape and Jackson, but we also have a metropolitan planning area, which is larger than our urbanized area. And that means that we need to be able to also plan for areas outside into the county. We also go into Scott City around the airport. We also catch our river port. We do cross the bridge over into Illinois a little bit on 146. And then the planning area actually goes north, just south of Fruitland along 177.
And you do you do these big plans? Is it every 5 years you do one? And I read something about a 20-year plan. So kind of tell us how you structure and how you plan.
Sure. So it's really meant to be a 20-plus year visioning for the community and what our needs might be. But we're federally required every 5 years to update it, mostly because there's a lot that can happen in 5 years. And our area might look much different and have much different needs than it did 5 years ago. So we do this once every 5 years.
And you might just kind of tell us, I know there's a lot of people that are involved in there's several different groups and committees. Kind of give us an idea of how expansive the folks who are on these committees are.
Sure. Well, SMPO is comprised of a board. We have a 7-member board. The board is also served by a transportation planning committee. You'll hear us refer to a group called the TPC, Transportation Planning Committee. They help do a lot of the research and footwork for a lot of the policy initiatives and goals that the SMPO board establishes.
So in the airport, someone from the airport is on the Cape Regional Airport. So it's a pretty expansive, I guess, if it has to do with anything transportation-related or infrastructure-related, it seems like they're probably involved in some way. Is that fair to say?
Yes, anything transportation-related, recreational, or if it's for your vocation, it's under our umbrella.
And so every 5 years you update this and you get input from the public. Now, the pandemic, I'm sure, changed the way you probably collected data this time around. So tell us how you went about getting input from folks.
It has been a process. So we started officially in October of last year. And you're absolutely correct. The pandemic certainly created a lot of obstacles for us. But what we did was we first established a steering committee that was 15 members, mostly comprised of people from our TPC, our Transportation Planning Committee. And that really helped kind of guide and shape the direction in which we engage the public. From our steering committee, we hosted 8 focus group meetings. And these would be focus group meetings comprised of anyone in the public with subject matter knowledge or just a general interest in areas such as emergency management, transit, freight, economic development, neighborhood groups, aviation, or just general accessibility concerns. And those were 8 individual separate meetings with members of our public. And we just really tried to open it up to general conversation about, you know, what their interests were in relation to transportation, what they'd like to see the future look like in our community, and got a lot of great feedback from those meetings. We also held 2 virtual open houses, again, virtual because of the health emergency. But we held one at lunchtime, so it was from noon to 1, and then we also had what we called the dinner time one from 6:30 to 7:30. So hopefully being able to catch a lot of different people. That was done on February 9th. And we actually have a recording on SEMPO's website for anybody interested to see how those conversations went.
Do a lot of folks participate? Do you have as much participation and feedback just from the general population as you'd like?
I was pretty impressed with the level of engagement we were able to get, especially with our focus groups. We probably had over 30 people within the focus groups, and those conversations really went a lot longer than I thought they would. At our virtual open houses, collectively between the two, we had right at 30 people attend those.
What kind of things did you learn from these groups? Were there any areas that people really seemed to all focus in on in particular?
Well, with the 8 that I had mentioned, they're all kind of their own creation, talking about emergency management or transit or freight or economic development or bike and pedestrian. One theme that I think that we had heard amongst the groups was just an opportunity to really enhance the level of communication amongst all the different interests of transportation. There's some things within one, say just for a random example, aviation, that people very steeped in our airport may know right away, but people that aren't so focused on the airport might not know. So that's something I feel as if SEMPO as an organization can really take on as a goal to make sure that we're effectively communicating everything we can that's going on within our area.
So you had these different experts come from their different area of expertise, but when you talk to the general public, one of the things I read in the report was that there was a talk about road maintenance, that a lot of folks, I guess, in this area felt like road maintenance should be something that was a priority. Was that something that you heard a lot about during just the general open part of it?
Oh, certainly. Yeah. I've lived here just over 5 years, and it's not unique to our community that maintenance of our roads be a very high priority. But it was certainly something I've heard since I've been here listening to folks and their concerns. That's something that the city of Cape Girardeau has heard with their transportation trust funds, is we really need to focus on maintaining what we have. We've heard that too during this process as well.
Were there any surprises? I mean, if it's updated every 5 years, there probably weren't, but was there anything that you heard a lot more of that you maybe had 5 years ago and thought, that's something we really need to start looking at a little closer?
Probably some of the upcoming trends. Not necessarily overly surprising, but more just eye-opening and forward-thinking. We will have an aging population, so at some point there'll be a number of our residents that may become less reliant on their own personal vehicular travel. We need to be looking more at pedestrian facilities, bicycle infrastructure, transit. more transit options. But then some of the new technologies that are advancing as far as smart cars or automated vehicles. Amazon, I'm not sure if you've seen that they've been testing out delivery drones where they would deliver packages via drone to your to your home. Connected vehicles, thinking about expanded fiber infrastructure to be able to support all of that data going back and forth to communicate with all this new technology. So those are things that you don't necessarily think about on a daily basis, but it's all things that are within the very near future.
So that's the you're looking at those kind of things too. Do you does it ever feel? I mean, you don't have a crystal ball. We probably wish you did. Does it ever feel overwhelming to try to think about what things are going to be like if you're looking 20 years ahead?
I think it's more exciting. But yes, it certainly can be overwhelming, especially when you start to think about the funding side of it and how you're going to be able to accomplish all the goals that you set out. You're always dealing with limited resources, so that's certainly a challenge.
So if you're sitting there in a meeting and somebody says, well, in 15 to 20 years, we're going to be like the Jetsons with the little cars flying around, well, then what is that going to mean? And of course, that's a little silliness. But, I mean, things are going to change, and we may have more, automated things going on. But that's something you kind of have to think about as you generate this long-term plan, right?
Oh, certainly. And your example with the Jetsons, they are advancing Hyperloop technology now that it's putting people in tubes. So that's out there, too.
That's kind of exciting. So I see where you say there is some excitement there, too.
Yes, absolutely.
So let's talk about the funding a little bit. So I looked at some of the projects that were in the plan, some things that were there, and I'm sure that's all just what it is, a plan. But how are these kind of projects, whether it's some work at the airport or some road being redone, whatever it may be, how is this sort of stuff funded?
Well, we actually, the plan creates two separate lists. One plan is called, is entitled Fiscally Constrained, which means it does have a current funding source that we've identified to complete the project. And it's listed on the project list as well. The other list that's generated is titled Illustrative, which means it's either a need we've identified or something that we know the community would really benefit from, but we also know that we just don't have the funds or know where the funds would be to be able to accomplish that project.
Okay.
So the fiscally constrained one will outline the exact funding source that we would be able to accomplish that within the next 5 years. But the illustrative is more forward-thinking, not necessarily pie in the sky, but things that we know we would benefit from. We just don't know where, at the moment, where we would get the funds to do it.
Of course, Southeast Missouri, we're a regional hub here in our part of the country. Does that something that sort of figures into this as you have to think, oh, we have this many people coming into our area every day and leaving our area every day, so that means we need to kind of plan for, growth X, Y, and Z and have this much work done on the roads and bridges? Is that something that you sort of have to, because we're in a unique situation here, in a unique position?
Oh, it certainly does. Our urbanized area is just north of 50,000. But on a daily basis, during the daytime, our population swells to over 100,000.
Wow.
And we need to be able to provide the infrastructure to be able to accommodate all those people. And within the next 5 years, the next 20 years, it's only anticipated that those numbers are going to increase. The plan does include what we call traffic demand modeling, which is really just looking at what future congestion may be. And they use fancy formulas to generate it. But it did teach us some things. It shows by the 2045, there's going to be at near congestion or designated what they term congestion on I-55 from Scott City to Fruitland.
Huh.
So they said, based on their modeling, we would really benefit from an additional lane both directions on I-55.
It's interesting. I looked at some of the data that you look at. So population data, land use data, socioeconomic data, traffic data, accident data. There's a ton of information that I guess goes that you plug in to make this plan. It's just interesting that all this stuff comes together. And you probably find out some really interesting things, I'm guessing, when you do this.
Certainly. And don't try to have me explain the formula.
Oh, no, I wouldn't do that.
Our engineering firm assisted with that. We were lucky to have that resource available to us.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that to you because I probably wouldn't understand it even if you could explain it. So this plan that's out now, and it's on the website, it's a draft plan, but there's still a chance for folks in the area to provide some input, right?
There certainly is. We're accepting input all the way up until March 16th. That date is because on March 17th, we're going to be taking it for a public hearing, which would be yet another opportunity for members of the public to come in and speak on it if they have any feedback to provide. But ultimately, our goal is to take it to our SEMPO board for adoption April 21st.
And then once the board approves that, so I guess it goes into action, and then I guess, do you go through this process again in 5 years?
We will, yes. It's federally required that we update it every 5 years.
So if folks wanted to see the report right now, how do they go about doing that?
They could go to our website, southeastmpo.org, and it should be prominent on the homepage, but it's also listed under our planning documents.
So they could read through that, provide input, and I guess they could come to this meeting, which we'll share that information as we get closer to it. Is there anything else in this report that listeners may want to know about that maybe we didn't talk about?
I think those were the main things. It does establish six major goals, one being safety, system management, accessibility, economic development, environmental protection, and coordination. So within those goals, they look at all our different modes of transportation and think, how are we going to accomplish these goals that were established? There's seven major sections. All the sections are pretty unique, so if individuals just have one area of interest, they could just pick a section to read through as opposed to starting at the cover and going 170 pages through.
Yeah, there's a lot. It seems to me that this will be something that for those who are interested in just the area overall, and like you said, they may be interested in aviation or maybe in just the bicycle paths in the area. That is something, if someone were a cycle enthusiast, they could just maybe read that section and provide input if they thought they needed to, right?
They could. And really, this document is to serve as a comprehensive, overarching planning document for our organization. Within it, it'll highlight additional plans that we have currently. As you had mentioned, bicycling. We do have a regional bicycle and pedestrian plan that they won't get everything from that plan in this document, but they'll know that we do have that plan available as well through identification in that document. Right. And then they could go find a regional bike ped plan, which is also on our website.
Okay. Before we go, one of the things I'm just curious about, so this new the new Diamond Interchange is being between Cape and Jackson, was that in this document, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago? Was it something that was on the radar, I guess?
It was on MoDOT's radar as far as in need of maintenance soon. The Divergent Diamond came about with some safety funds that MoDOT had identified that they had, and they really found it to be the best solution for what our future needs were going to be. But I don't think back in 2016 when we did our first MTP, Diverging Diamond was on the tip of many people's tongues. Yeah. But certainly the need to redeck the bridge was.
But so this would be the type of thing, projects like that and more would be something that you all would be looking at as a group. And do you, I guess you probably meet, do you meet every couple times a year, even when you're not doing a report? How often do you all get together?
So our board meets once a month, and our TPC meets once a month. Our TPC meets the first Wednesday of every month, and then our board meets the third Wednesday of every month.
Alex McElroy is the Executive Director of the Southeast Metropolitan Planning Organization. Thanks so much for joining us and explaining this to us. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
The Metropolitan Transportation Plan is available at SMPO's website, southeastmpo.org. Printed copies are available at Cape Girardeau City Hall and Jackson City Hall, as well as the Cape Girardeau County Administrative Office in Jackson. The public comment period closes March 16, 2021. To hear more interviews, visit krcu.org.